Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, February 17th, 2014. Hey, my name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in tonight. And happy President's Day. Personally, I think it's happy George Washington's birthday, happy Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Not President's Day, but we're going to talk a little bit about presidents, what it means to be a president versus a dictator. Kind of like George Washington versus Barack Hussein Obama. Who's the president? Who's the dictator? What kind of presidents were they? All those kind of things, and talk about what it truly means to be a president. And do we have a president today? I personally don't think we do. I think we have a dictator. So we're going to talk about that and go through some of the presidential quotes and just the various things. But before we do that, Neil Rice is here, and she's going to give us an update on stuff the Florida voters need to know and why it is so important to vote no for Amendment 1. We need to understand what they are trying to do. We see all sorts of things going on about land grabs, eminent domain and all this stuff across this whole country. But Florida is on steroids with the stuff, whatever you want to call it, the massive, largest land grab going on, including using BP money to do it and everything else. So I'm going to have Neil go over a few things so that everybody remembers. Vote no, and this is why. Vote no on Amendment 1, this is why. And you've got to ask anybody that's running for public office in the state of Florida, you've got to ask them about this. You've got to challenge them. And if they support this kind of garbage, don't vote for them. Why would you vote for anybody who wants to take over this country and trash the Constitution and trash our property rights, trash literally, take ownership, federal government to own all the land? Why would you want to do that? So anyway, on that note, Neil, please tell us more.
Yeah, hi, Sally, and hi to everyone that's listening. And I appreciate this opportunity to get this word out because we are in so much trouble in this state. The state of Florida, first of all, leads the nation in land acquisitions, that is grabbing of land, permanent easements that are perpetual, they never come off, and greenways, blueways, everything where there is land conservation, we lead the nation. And right now, I am getting out a flyer. It is to vote no on Amendment 1 on the 2014 ballot. It is the largest land grab in American history. The Florida Water and Land Legacy had acquired over 700,000 signatures, and had this passed through our Supreme Court judges for verbiage to make sure everything was legal. Excuse me. And it will be on the ballot. And the biggest issue I have with this, how they went about this, was they lied to people. I have talked to people throughout the state of Florida, and the way they went about getting them. And in fact, I was at an event at a watermelon festival last June in Monticello, and they had a booth set up there, and I approached them acting like a dummy. I knew nothing. And they said, oh, it's to protect our drinking water. It's to protect the waters and the rivers. And they went on and on. And I said, oh, really? And I explained to them why, and I left. Shortly after that, the lady that was there came over, and apparently she looked it up on her computer, and she said, you're right. I was wrong. But what this does is they're saying it's making sure you have safe drinking water, protecting animal life, and so forth. They're saying telling the people that it does not raise your taxes is one of the biggest lies there is. Conservation land is taken off the tax roll. And when that comes off the tax roll, they do not pay taxes. So that is lost revenue in your county where you live. Money that is needed for schools, your police department, your hospitals, and so forth. And when they don't have enough money to take care of those things, then you, the taxpayer, your taxes go up to make up the lost revenue. So please don't believe what they're telling you. Your taxes do go up. They also say that it has nothing to do with taxes in the beginning. Well, they get money from the dock stamps program that we have here in Florida that was created in 1931, and it was set up for the poor and the elderly. But, of course, our legislators, like Social Security, they rob everything there is where there's a dollar. They try to balance the budget with this money and everything else. This is tax dollars. The dock stamp comes from, the money comes from it, when you buy a piece of property or you sell one, you take out a mortgage, or you even do a note. Anything where there's transferring of something like that, there is a tax on that, and that is where the money comes from for the dock stamps. So they are telling you that it's not anything to do with taxes. That is totally wrong. And the Florida Land and Legacy says that it's to protect and save animals. In the state of Florida, we have almost 60% of the land that is already gone. This bill, or amendment, excuse me, will bring $19 billion to Florida Forever to buy more land and do more land acquisitions and permanent easements, greenways, blueways, buffers, everything else with land acquisition.
Yeah,
like I said, this is money.
Yeah, okay.
Huh?
I was just going to say, you know, this is the reason why you can't reelect people like Rick Scott. This you got
no.
Rick Scott's behind it, this crap doing this, especially when it came to spending all the BP money and all this other stuff. This is what these people are doing. Do not reelect the same scumbags. I don't care what party they're in. A scumbag is a scumbag is a scumbag. So we got to get these people out, and they've got to understand who's behind this crap when they're going to the voting booth. And you know, that's another thing. This is what I find it's really even more frustrating. Here in this 2014, we've got the governor and in the case of Orange County, it's probably true of most counties, we've got the mayor for Orange County for election. They always put these positions on the midterm elections because they know not as many people come up and they can control the outcome so much better. So people have to understand this election is important too. Don't think this is
this amendment, if they come out for no other reason to vote for anything, they need to come out on this amendment because this is going to affect everybody's property rights. And another thing,
like you
said with Rick Scott, he supports and endorses all of this because he is the CEO of the Acquisition and Restoration Council for the state of Florida, along with his whole cabinet. The DEP, the Environmental Department, Transportation Department, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. But the greenways in Florida, as they are proceeding with these, and they are gung-ho on this, it is moving so rampant. As of today, they own 25.62 million acres of land right now. And all the water managements in all five districts in Florida are involved with this. Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission owns over 6 million acres. And this, people have got to realize, this will be a constitutional amendment if it passes. So it will be a Florida statute giving Florida Forever, I'll repeat this, $19 billion, that's with a B, of your tax dollar to buy more land. And this is land conservation. The majority of it, people are not allowed on it today. And Florida is the largest land acquisition organization in the country. And right now in Florida, they own 30%. That is one-third of the state of Florida. This is a huge land grab. Now, Florida senators and representatives are coming out making statements on this. Senator Gates has actually said that this is way too much land for any government to control. And even our agricultural commissioner, Adam Putnam, came out against this. So people have got to start to realize and remember, whoever controls the land and the water controls the people. This is your food supply. As these corridors, and they do over time, they keep widening on both sides. And then when they come up against your property, you are thrown off of your property. 3,000 people or more now in South Florida have been thrown off their property for one reason or another in all of this land acquisition. Think about
yeah.
that.
It's so anti-American. It's so unconstitutional. I mean, these people should rot. It's just unbelievable to think how greedy and selfish these people are and how they're stabbing us all in the back. And, I mean, and most people just don't have a clue that this stuff is going on, or they think you're some kind of conspiracy. But it's not a conspiracy if it's true.
No, it's not being reported.
Right.
And no, it's not being reported. Down in Miami-Dade, and this is a few years ago now, I want to guess, and I'm not sure, I want to say like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they did a 8.5 square mile people's land away from them. Do you read about this in the newspaper in Florida? Do you see it on the local news? This amendment right now is being pushed by several newspapers in the state of Florida. The Gainesville is one of them. Orlando is another one. Bradenton is another one. They are publishing this for people to get out and vote yes on this amendment. And
when you got the news media out there telling you to vote yes, you know you need to vote no.
Right, and not only that, but a fellow, his name is last name is DeFore, DeFoor. He was an advisor to Jeb Bush, and they have hired him to do a campaign to get this amendment passed in 2014.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what good old John Ellis Bush's role is in all this stuff.
Pardon?
I was going to ask you what John Ellis Bush, what his role was in all this stuff, how he's promoting
it. Yeah, Jeb Bush was a big environmentalist, but then he pushed regionalism in 2006. People don't even realize that. He was going throughout the state telling people in the state of Florida that the way to have a successful economy was to do regionalism. That was Jeb Bush.
Well, yeah, speaking about the Bush family, clan, whatever, I don't know if you saw it or heard about it. Excuse me. It was on Fox News over the weekend. They had this special for George H.W. Bush, honoring his service and his wonderful life and all this other stuff. And I'm like, it was so, you know, this is, and I got to send something out there about the Fox that's guarding the GOP hen house, because Fox News, they are so GOP establishment. And it irks me to no end. I didn't see the whole thing. I didn't want to watch any of it, but I felt like I needed to have some clue what it was about. But they try to act like how wonderful he was, but they don't talk about, you know, Agenda 21 and him signing us over to the UN in 1992, New World Order. He was the one who started this. And, of course, they never talk about the fact it was Prescott Bush who aided Hitler, and that's where they got their money to begin with. It wasn't all the hard work of them growing up this way. It was because they aided Hitler and got their money through that means. And then, of course, you'd hear George W. in there, and you'd hear some of the other, John Ellis Bush, and then one of the others who, you know, one of the other brothers in there. I lose track of all their names. But they never talk about the true history of the Bush family and what they truly do. But right now it looks like this is all Fox News trying to prop up John Ellis Bush, Jebby, to be a presidential candidate. But I'm telling you, Fox News is losing a lot of credibility, and they keep going out there playing these games with the GOP.
Mm-hmm. Another thing they're propping up too, Sally, is George P. Bush. He's in Texas, and he is Jeb Bush's son. He's 37 years old, I believe. And he, at his age, he is being backed with millions of dollars. He is running for land commissioner. Can you imagine that?
Surprise, surprise.
And they never mentioned on Fox News the Bush's association with Saudis, Arabia, with all their oil and all the money they made off of that either. You never hear any of this.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. So, I mean, you know, Fox News, it may not be the liberal crap or we get on the extreme left, but they what the crap they're doing for the GOP. And knowing Murdoch and knowing that Murdoch is a person who supports amnesty, who supports Common Core, you just got to be real careful of what you trust with Fox News. Don't assume Fox News is all the conservative routine stuff because they're not. They're playing both sides. And the way they keep propping up the GOP is just totally disgusting to me.
Exactly. But everybody has got to realize that this amendment that will be on the 2014 ballot, that's amendment number one. This is one of the most dangerous amendments that I have ever seen in my life. And the Florida water and land legacy is behind this. Florida Forever, the Nature Conservancy, the Sahara Club. I mean, all the same old players, the same corrupt organizations, as always, the Audubon Society, all of them. Eric Draper, he's the director of the Audubon Society. He is out pushing this like there is no tomorrow. They are also using billions of money that Rick Scott is receiving on behalf of the state of Florida from the Deep Horizon Water oil spill to put into more corridors, land acquisition. The one they're working on now is a corridor that is on the Gulf Coast of Florida. It goes from the Panhandle all the way south down the entire state, the coast, to the Everglades. It covers over 20-some counties. It is called the Southwest Florida Conservation Corridor. We already have the Florida Wildlife Corridor, 720,000 acres. In between the two of those, we have the National Scenic Trail. On the East Coast, we have the East Coast Greenway. Two of these, the East Coast Greenway and the National Scenic Trail, go entirely up the entire eastern coast of the United States into Canada and split. One goes east and west. These are bicycle paths, people. Bicycle paths. This money is coming from our tax dollar through the Department of Transportation.
And then they tell us they can't afford the roads. I'm all in favor. I love all their buzzwords, conservation, this and that, and trying to make it all sound so positive and so, you know, how could you be against this? And, you know, and I'm not against conservation by any means. I happen to be very big nature lover, and I want to see our environment protected. Of course, what we do here in the States doesn't do a whole lot if China and them are out there, you know, totally contaminating the world, the atmosphere from everything else. But, you know, I believe in having respect for the land and saving a certain amount for nature because of to me, I just think it's good to do because we do want to protect nature. We don't want to go and trash the whole thing, but we also don't want to get – it's not the role of government to take total ownership of it. I mean, the Ocala National Forest, okay, you know. Yosemite Park, okay. There's things that I support within limits. But what they're doing is a massive land grab where the government is owning all the land. And I think it was even Rand Paul who was saying – we need to start selling off some of the federal land. There's no reason for the federal government to own so much land. Why would they want to own all the land? Duh.
It's massive.
All the people? Yeah.
How many of your listeners know the billions of dollars and more land acquisitions and water control that they're doing in the Everglades, our tax dollar? We have a bridge there that goes nowhere. You heard of the bridge that goes nowhere in Alaska? Well, Florida has one too, and now they want to build another one, and they haven't even completed that one. But at the same time, why should we pay for this? We don't own it. The United Nations controls the Everglades under the Heritage Act that Congress passed. So I say the United Nations should pay for this, not the American taxpayer.
And that goes to the other point. This is where most people, now people who are listening to my show, I think probably do have some clue about this stuff going on. Hopefully this makes them think to talk more to others about it. But we know the majority of citizens out there don't know this. I mean, it was on Huckabee over the weekend where he was saying only 23% of the students knew that the Senate and the House of Representatives were the two houses of Congress. If they don't, I can't remember what percentage didn't know that George Washington was the first president. If they don't know that, you know they don't know this.
I hate to say this for your listeners that are listening, but Mitch O'Connell from Kentucky,
right.
Senator, and also Governor Huckabee, they were all behind in the beginning in the state of Florida and the country and all these greenways and land acquisitions. And I've got the document that says so.
Oh, yeah. They were. Huckabee is a GOP establishment rhino. His show, he points out some very good things, and I can't criticize the fact that some of the things he puts out there are really good, and he knows that's what the conservatives, the true Americans, the constitutionalists, want to hear. He knows that part, but then when it comes right down to the wire, when you see what he really does, like supporting or endorsing idiots like John Micah and others, I'm sure he would endorse Rick Scott, too. I mean, because he's a GOP establishment person, and the GOP just doesn't stand for anything anymore. It really doesn't. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that he would be in that.
Yeah,
and
it's a shame because, he does go in a lot of good directions. I mean, I believe in giving somebody credit where credit's due, and he does have a lot of credit coming to him. But I don't know if he's actually thought this whole thing out and is aware of what actually, how far this thing has gone to. It has gone like the drop off at the end of the earth.
Yep.
Florida is leading the nation now. And we're going to bypass California. We already have. The whole state of Florida is under regionalism. The entire state. And Rick Scott pushes this. Enterprise Florida, he is the CEO of it. Gary Scoop, he goes all over the state pushing regionalism. And also with Rick Scott's Workforce Florida, Inc.
Yeah, and the next thing they're going to do here, they go and buy all this land under the guise of the state and why they say they need it retained, which they don't. But then the next part is when they start selling it off to the United Nations. And they truly don't have any right. But, I mean, if we had a constitution, which I'm not sure we really do anymore, but if we had a constitution, they don't have the right to sell public to some foreign entity or international entity like the United Nations. But this is what they're doing to us. It's these people in public office that are destroying this country. And of course, it's the people, the American people, who are letting them do it. And that's why it's so important. Vote no on Amendment 1, people. Get out and vote. I don't care whether you vote for the governor or not. Just vote no. Of course, I'd like you to vote for somebody else. Vote for Adrian Wiley for the governor.
Yeah, because that man stands by the Constitution. Well, what I'm doing with this Amendment 1, a group of us over here in my county, we are buying cases of paper. We're copying, printing this off. We're taking, a slew of them to all the churches in my county, to the businesses, to the schools, keeping them in our cars so when we go to Winn-Dixie or we go to Walmart or whatever store we're going to shop with, I put 50 of them in my purse. And as I'm going up and down the aisle, I excuse myself to people, and I hand them one. When you get gas, I'm out there filling my car up. There's 3-4 other people. I approach them and I say, excuse me, please, but I'd like to give you this flyer. This is amendment on the 2014 ballot, and it is the most dangerous thing that has ever been done in the state of Florida. And I get them out there, and I've got other groups. They're putting them on Facebook. There's going to Twitter with this issue, and we're going to keep it up from now until election time.
Well, and I'll tell you, I'm going to probably put a message on my back windshield. I do this frequently. People who know me know I go around with a political message on my vehicle to say vote no on Amendment 1 and then put under ask why, and then I'm going to have handouts to give to people, too.
Yeah, you got to have them in your car. You just do. Because, you know, it's not that, you know, unfortunately, the people don't know because they don't want you to know. But for them to out and out lie to people to get them to sign this petition, I had to go to the veterinarian's office a week ago, and they have two huge hospitals that I go to, and somehow this subject came up. It wasn't me. Somebody else brought it up about protecting the animals. I said, wait a minute. What did you sign? Oh, it was for safe drinking water, and I said, Amendment 1? They said, yes. I said, let me tell you what that was about. You should have seen these ladies. I thought they were going to keel over when they found out what they signed. They said they didn't tell us any of that. They didn't tell us that it was $19 billion and that they also are getting billions through Rick Scott and the BP oil spill money. Plus, on the dock stamps, they get $300 million a year now. Rick Scott cut them down last year because of the budget. But they were on the books and have been, Florida forever, getting $300 million from the dock stamps. It's in our Florida state statutes that they get it. So there you go.
And, you know, today is President's Day. And as I go, as we talk about these things, I keep thinking, what would the founding fathers think? What would George Washington think? I think it was George Washington. I'm trying to go through the quotes here. I think it was George Washington that said, your liberty is tied to your right to own property. And if you don't have the right to own property, and that's what's happening here, the state's taken over, so they don't want you to own anything. They want you to be in one of their smart growth communities, where you communes, whatever you want to call it, and they want full control. This government is wanting full control. And, you know, I kind of think it's like when you take the likes of Rick Scott, is he doing this, and I truly believe a lot of these public servants, elected whatevers, some of them are truly just too ignorant, clueless, blind to understand what's really going on, and some of them are just greedy, thinking they're getting their hands into the cookie jar, which, of course, is evil, too. Not realizing that they're truly throwing out this whole country at the same time. I mean, how many of these people that are in public office don't have any clue about any of this stuff at all, and then those others that are trying to get a piece of the pie for themselves, not, it's like, okay, you want to get rich this bad, you want to play this game over here, and you're doing all these games so that you can destroy this country? And it's like, these are the most anti-patriotic, anti-American people I know, and I do, at the same time, I do believe some of them are just plain stupid. Ignorant, dumb, stupid, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I can tell you, Rick Scott, I did vote for him. I helped to keep him in office because I really thought that maybe he would do the right thing. But he's listening to Jeb Bush, and he is really getting the bum steer. And his advisory team is Governor Chris's advisory team. He has never changed one person. But also I would like to bring up the fact there is a YouTube out there with Rick Scott when before he was elected with that corrupt deals that were going on with him with the hospitals, and under oath and at an investigation under oath on video, he took the Fifth Amendment over 70 times.
Oh, yeah.
What and he had say? Hair then, too. He wasn't bald.
And I have to wonder, maybe it was.
So he looks a little different. But can you imagine taking the Fifth Amendment?
Well, I can tell you I didn't vote for him. I voted for one of the third party or no party affiliates, whatever, because I couldn't stand him. I openly admit I voted for Pam Bondi, and I'll never do that again. I didn't vote for Rick Scott. Here's a quote, and I'm going through some of these quotes, and if there's any one for the President's Day that you particularly like, please feel free to share it. And then you and I were talking a little bit before the show about President's Day and what it really is. But I got to read this one here. This is so true, and this is George Washington, right? If the freedom of speech is taken away, then the dumb and the silent, we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. I mean, that speaks volumes, and this is where we're at today. If the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent, we may be led like sheep to the slaughter.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. They understood all this, and they did everything they could to protect us from ourselves, but you've just got too many lazy people who don't take the time to learn or understand what's going on. And then you do have an evil element, like the Bushes, who think that communism and one world order and new world order is what we should be. It's just, it's unbelievable.
Sally. One thing that really just puts a cut right through my skull, Common Core, of course, is to teach our children how to live under sustainable development, which is the United Nations, how to have them become globalist and not Americans, and how to distribute wealth, and how to obey the government. But at the same time, people that have a constitutional booklet, the very last page in that booklet, it quotes the federal law that every learning institution in the United States has to take the week of September 17th to teach everyone on the Constitution. Not just read it, to teach them. It is a law for any learning institution that receives federal funds. And I don't see any of our elected officials, our governor, our Board of Education in the state of Florida ever mentioning that, ever.
Never.
No. Well, listen,
absolutely.
I've got to go. I've got a call here because I'm getting my county to join up and to do a common law grand jury, and I'm getting several other counties. Yep. So we are going to be forming that also. I think it's something that every county needs to do, and if they need information on this, we're going to be getting it out there for them to get in contact with the right people to do this.
Okay, well, I've got to bug you for just a couple of minutes if I can. Two things I wanted to
ask you.
In reference to President's Day, do you think we're celebrating President's Day the way it should be? We're just making it a global for everybody compared to what it started out to be for Washington and Lincoln. And then the other is, do we have a president today or do we have a dictator?
We have a Marxist dictator today. There is no question in my mind about it. I have read too much on communism, the way they look at things, the things they do, the power to the different agencies that they give. And it lines up exactly with Adolf Hitler and what he did. And as far as the President's Day, I don't recognize that day. I will celebrate George Washington and Lincoln's birthday because most of our presidents do not deserve recognition. And I do not. No, they don't. Let's just stop and go back, for instance, on several of them. Nixon, why would he be included in that? Ford, right after him, why would he be included in that? After they made a deal so that Nixon could get away with this, Nixon should have been deported.
Yep.
Jimmy Carter, why would he get recognition? He signed this whole country on to regionalism. Why should he get recognized? The Bushes with Agenda 21, with the Patriot Act. Why should they get recognition? And I can go on and on going further back.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. These people, all they want to do is honor themselves, pat themselves on the back. It's all about them and, you know, the almighty king or dictator. And today, I agree, we have a dictator. We don't have a president. This mentality, this nobility that they all think that they're above us and that we bow to them and all this other garbage, and it's just totally opposite of what this country was founded on.
No, because no president today or any other time in history past would ever do things to go against the people of this country, like shutting down all these coal plants. And I am sick and tired of hearing global warming. Now they changed a word because that's what radical liberals and socialists do. They change the wording, and now it's climate change. The Supreme Court is going to be taking this issue up this year, and there's a few scientists that sit on the IPCC, that's the climate change panel with the United Nations, and they have come out and said that this was a political agenda done through the United Nations.
Exactly.
Think, people, of the trillions of dollars that the United States has invested in this. Now with the coal plants and the EPA, I say shut them down. If you're going to shut them down, don't let them send this coal over to these other countries. But at the same time, China and India are opening up, and I found this out today, a new coal plant every single week.
Wow.
How is all these regulations going to help the globe, like they say, but that's not the problem. This is just going after bringing the economy to the collapse. But the EPA has no right to make their own rules and regulations. That is up to Congress.
Well, that's if we had a constitution and if we had a Congress that actually did its job. You know, it's sad. And then this goes back to what I was saying in the beginning. It's like they go after us for the environmental stuff while you've got China and them who are polluting 10 times more than we ever dream of. They don't care. Yeah, and yet they're all supposed to be part of the United Nations. They're all supposed to be following these rules. You know, we're all supposed to be working together to save the climate, yet it's only us who pays the money and is forced into any kind of regulations. It's outrageous and it's anti-American all the way because we have a bunch of elitists who just want to destroy this country.
Yeah, and I'm a conservationist. I'm an animal lover. I mean, I don't think you'll ever find anyone that loves animals any more than I do. I mean, I have birds out here in my yard. It costs me a small fortune to feed them all year round. Birds that I couldn't even tell you what they are. And as far as planting, all the trees that I have planted on this property and bushes and everything else, I mean, I'm all for this. And to keep things clean, you know, I'll say I am a smoker. So when I'm outside and I'm watering and I'm cutting grass, pulling weed, whatever I'm doing, if I'm smoking a cigarette and I'm done with it, I put it out, but that butt goes in my blue jean pocket. And when I come in the house, it gets dumped in the garbage.
Right.
So I don't think you find too many people that do that.
No. No, and that's it. It's not about not caring about the environment or caring about animals. That's not what this is about. It's about a massive land grab. It's about out-of-control government, and it's about destroying the sovereignty of this country by signing away the sovereignty of this country to the United Nations, the New World Order of George H.W. Bush routine, and, of course, the others. It's people have to understand it's much bigger than that. And anybody, not to be insulting, but any adult who doesn't think that this country can fall just is living in some kind of fantasy land where they're drinking too much Kool-Aid or something, I don't know. But the real world is Hitler wasn't the last one who wanted communism. Hitler wasn't the last evil person on this planet. There's those today who want to destroy this country. Most of them are called the Muslim Brotherhood, who believe all Christians should be dead, and this kind of thing. But you've also got the George W. Bush is out there and the Bush clan, who are communists too, so, and people just say, oh, you can't say that. They are communists. Give me a break. Go look at their history. I mean, they care more about the Saudis than they do about us.
And it's a real shame because that's like the soldiers that they brought back, that one group, I forgot what year, it was not too long ago, where Obama and Hillary were there. And before they got loaded on the plane, draped with American flags, they had a radical Islamic clergy person do a slamming prayer over their bodies. And nobody said anything about it.
It's just so disgusting.
If it was a father of mine or a brother or a relative of mine, I would have been there when that plane landed, and I would demand that that body be taken with me immediately. I would not allow this president or Hillary to have those caskets behind them for any display of any kind or any ceremony, not after they allowed that to happen.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. It's disgusting. And it's like we've got to do something. It's up to the American people to revolt against this and show the opposition. Revolt can take many forms, whether that's going to be part of the May 16th Operation Spring, American Spring, whether that's going to be that or what you do every day by calling every single one of your elected public idiots and telling them what you think and voting no on this Amendment 1. There's many, many ways we can revolt, and we are having a difference. I mean, it is making a difference. Some people don't think it is, but, I mean, we literally made Huckabee back off on Common Core when he was out there promoting it, thinking he could brainwash everybody. So it does make a difference. We do have power if we don't let them take it away from us. We have the power if we don't surrender.
No, they're starting to get nervous because you can see they're bringing in strong guns now. Nothing would surprise me more than if we don't see George Soros money landing in Florida to get this amendment passed. Nothing would surprise me. He put in $33 million to keep these Supreme Court justices in Florida at the last election. That worked. And now the left is getting in as far as pushing Governor Chris. And he is all for regionalism. And he was in there in 2008 when these greenways were recognized and made Florida the leading state in the nation for greenways. So people have got to get out. If they vote for nothing else, vote no on Amendment 1. Nobody's asking you to vote for anybody else, but stand up for the state of Florida. We are losing it, people.
Definitely.
And this will be the clincher.
Yeah, well, I'm
okay, well, I got to go. I've got to get with this grand jury thing.
Oh, yes.
But thank you, Sally. But
info.
Yeah, we need to keep putting this out on the air. And I'm on two other radio shows, and we're doing it every radio show, usually at the beginning, just to let people know about it in case they didn't listen in before. And pass the word. Get a flyer, make copies, give them to your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, any organizations you're involved with. Take them to the Senior Citizen Center, whatever.
Okay, if people want to get hold of you to get more information or get the flyers, how do they contact you?
You have all my info if you want to put it out there. My phone number. Huh?
Okay, I can put out your phone number.
Phone number, email, whatever you want. I'm in the book. They know who I am already. I'm on their list. I don't care. It doesn't bother me one bit. I'm proud of what I'm doing. I'm trying to save our state, and I'll never stop.
Okay, well, I have to give you this one last thing just to put a smile on your face. I don't know if you heard this, and I didn't see the article, but I saw it come through the email. Yes, this really happened. George Soros punched by ex-girlfriend during court appearance. Gotta love it. That one's okay. According to the court records, billionaire progressive darling George Soros was quite literally punched in the head by his ex-girlfriend Brazilian soap opera actress named Adrienne Farrow, whatever it is, during a Manhattan deposition last week. The enraged actress also hit at least three other people. Needless to say, Glenn had a little bit of fun with the story on the radio show this morning.
I can imagine. I can. But people need to keep in mind, George Soros, this man is Marxist, and I mean that. It's an awful thing to have to say, but it's the truth. He hates America. He wants to see the American economy collapse, and he is doing everything, and he's got the money. This man is a billionaire so many times over. He's one of the richest men in the world.
Yep. Richest and evilest.
Yep.
So,
all right.
Anyway,
well, thank you very much,
you
and good night to everybody. And make sure you get out and vote no on Amendment 1 on the 2014 ballot. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Neil. Talk to you later. Okay. With that being said, I'm going to go back to what I was just talking about with the President's Day. Going back to some of the things that Neil was saying, you know, these people that get in public office today, it's all about making some kind of legacy for themselves, some kind of, it's not about doing the job, it's not about doing the people's work, it's about trying to grandstand and show that they are somehow the masters, they are the elitist, this nobility, and the founding fathers wanted everything to prevent this mentality of nobility. So when you talk to any of your elected public servants, remember, they are elected public servants. We are not the servants. They are the servants. And you're sending email to them. You're communicating. Do not put the honorable. I mean, I know some of these online tools automatically do that. I try to take it out when I can. But on your own, do not say the honorable Marco Rubio, the honorable John Micah. I mean, these people are scumbags. And they are not royalty. They are supposed to be Americans. They're supposed to be there temporary doing their public service, and then they're supposed to go home. It was never the intention to have career politicians. And the whole point in the beginning was the compensation was minimal, so nobody would want to do it. Well, wait a minute. Look what happens when they keep giving themselves raises, keep giving themselves pensions, keep giving themselves every kind of benny they can, free insurance and this and that. That's what it has become. And, of course, then they end up in the circles with all these special interests who are out there lining the wallets of everyone at the expense of this country and of the American people. 2014 has to be about the American people. That's what it's about. If we can't get there, if we cannot do something, if we cannot change this mentality to focus back on America and Americans, and not this mentality that these people elected a public office all of a sudden have to have a library named after them, have a road named after them, have some building named after them. What was it, all the post office are named after these people? No. And, you know, I get disgusted when I go to the tax office and see the tax collector's name on the wall. Give me a break. And, I mean, in the past, which I don't think it is now here in Orange County, you had to write the checks out to the tax collector. Why would I write the check out to the tax collector? Write it out to the county. But this is how evil these people are, how obsessed in their own existence and own importance. They think you and me are just the serfs. And if we're silent, as George Washington said, if we're going to be silent, well, we're going to be led like sheep to slaughter, and that's what it is. So anyway, we've got to change this attitude, and I totally agree. President's Day was not intended to cover all the sleazy, slimy presidents that have been out there over the years. It was specifically in recognition of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, and that's what it should be. So going forward, I think I might kind of change my approach on when I may do President's Day on the 22nd instead or whatever, but I'm going to focus on Lincoln and Washington, which I focus on Washington most of the time anyway. But today, and as we've had somewhat more of a general discussion here, I'm going to continue with the quotes of the presidents that I happen to think are entitled to be part of this, which is Jefferson as one. This is so true today. And, I mean, when you think about these little founding fathers, they knew what was going on. If we can but prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them, they must become happy. If we can but prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them, they must become happy. Think of how that relates to what's going on today. Government wasting the labors of the people, all pretending to take care of us. You know, they got to brainwash us into thinking, oh, we're so happy because you gave us a free cell phone. Excuse me. We're so happy because now we have health care, the free health care. It's not free. Why? Because I work for a living, I should pay more for health care than a deadbeat who wants to go sit on the beach and party all day long? There's no, you know, freedom requires responsibility. If you want to be a bunch of serfs, the peasants, then this is the way to go. If you believe in freedom and you really want a choice, you know, so many people don't truly appreciate what the difference is of being a serf versus being a free society. And, you know, time and time again, we've heard different things that it's going to be the legal immigrant who escaped the oppression of a dictator or communism of some sort, that are going to save this country because they know what it is. They appreciate the difference, where too many Americans today have been born and raised in America in the good life, and they don't understand what sacrifice is. They don't understand what communism is. They don't understand what a dictator really is, even though we should all be taking a good look at the guy in the White House right now, because I believe he is transitioning to dictatorship of the United States of America, because he's out there making his own laws. Okay, then here's another one here. This is Jefferson. I'm looking at Jefferson quotes right now. I never consider a difference of opinion in politics and in religion and philosophy as a cause for withdrawing from a friend. And that's exactly right. Friends can have differences of opinion. You know, you can have different beliefs. Respect for people to have different beliefs. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, it's another if you're out there trying to be a friend to someone who's trying to destroy this country is something I don't think I could deal with too well. And that's not a matter of being a difference of opinion in politics. That's a matter of being a treasonous traitor to your country. And then we have, and many of us have heard this one, and it's extremely good. One of my favorites, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. How close are we to that today? This is Thomas Jefferson. The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. What does that mean? Does that mean May 16th in Washington, D.C.? Operation American Spring, is that what that means? Of course, on the side of the people who are marching on D.C., they are not armed. They have totally prohibited any kind of armory to be there. It is a peaceful march. However, I don't know if our government's going to be this peaceful. Will our government actually order its military to come after the American people? I don't know. With a dictator in the White House, I'm not really sure what to expect. I don't know. So when people talk about that concern, I agree. I appreciate that concern. Okay, let's see. The glow of one warm thought is to me worth more than money. And then honesty is the first chapter in the book of wisdom. Honesty is the first chapter in the book of wisdom. Okay, and then the other, do you want to know who you are? Don't ask, act. Actions will delineate you and define you. So instead of saying, oh, well, what should I do about this or whatever, what would you do? If you're going to take action on something, what would you do? And that's going to define you. If sitting in front of the TV set doing nothing all the time is your answer, I mean, I think we all watch TV, so it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of priorities. What's more important to you? Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude. Okay, let's see here. This is a little bit of a long one here. Okay, well, I'm going to pass on that one for the moment. May come back to it. This one is one that I think is really kind of funny when we think about Wall Street these days. I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. That is so interesting when you think of everything that happened on Wall Street, the meltdown, and whether it's going to happen again. And again, this is Thomas Jefferson. I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. Interesting things to think about. Which comes down to people always talk about what the attitude, the position, the founding fathers had in reference to religion. Let's see here. Here's another kind of long one. Let's go ahead and go through this one. A strong body makes the mind strong. As to the species of exercises, I advise the gun. While this gives moderate exercise to the body, it gives boldness, enterprise, and independence to the mind. Games played with the ball and others of that nature are too violent for the body, and body and stamp no character in the mind. On the mind, let your gun therefore be a constant companion of your walks. Now that is very interesting. That's the first time I've ever read that one from Jefferson. Read that again. A strong body makes the mind strong. As to the species of exercise, I advise the gun. While this gives moderate exercise to the body, it gives boldness, enterprise, and independence to the mind. Games played with a ball and other of that nature are too violent for the body and stamp no character on the mind. Let your gun, therefore, be your constant companion of your walks. That's really a good one. I like that with everything we're talking about with the Second Amendment these days. That's an excellent one. Okay, but friendship is precious, not only in the shade, but in the sunshine of life. And thanks to the benevolent arrangement, the greater part of life is sunshine. Let's see here. Just heard some kind of noise there. I'm not sure what that was. I don't usually hear those kind of sound effects on the background of Blog Talk, and I can tell you that wasn't me. Okay, let's see here. Our greatest happiness does not depend on the condition of life in which chance has placed us, but it's always in the result of a good conscience, good health, occupation, and freedom in all just pursuits. No free man shall be debarred the use of arms. Yeah, let's see here. The constitutions of most of our states assert that all power is inherent in the people, that it is their right and duty to be at all times armed. Jefferson has a lot of good Second Amendment ones in here. And here's another one that we should all be able to relate to. It is incumbent on every generation to pay its own debts as it goes, a principle which, acted on, would save one half of the wars of the world. Think about the real reason we have wars. I mean, you have this mentality of the Muslim Brotherhood that use Christianity or faith as the reason. You know, if you're not a Muslim Islamist, you're supposed to die. Form the whole mass of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. Now, I know we've all heard this many times, and it really is so true. And that's what you think about how this is right now, Common Core, the dumbing down, the deliberate dumbing down of Americans and Common Core. And it was all through this public education that was going to elevate everybody to a higher level, when in fact it's done just the opposite, to dumb down people and to keep them in the box to control them. This is why homeschooling, I think, is so important, and this is why we have to fight Common Core. Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. No truer words. Let's see here. In the matters of style, swim with a current. In the matters of principle, stand like a rock. I like that. For a people who are free and who mean to remain so, a well-organized and armed militia is their best security. And this, again, goes back to the Second Amendment. And most states are supposed to have their own armed militias, but we don't. The National Guard has been taken over. What we have, what we call the National Guard today, is a federal militia, federally controlled yet designated in the states. We've messed that part up. We have totally lost what an armed militia was supposed to be about. And again, the March on Washington on May 16th isn't to do that. But I'm telling you, if we don't figure out what else to do, there's going to be some kind of there's a revolution underway today. The question is it going to be a peaceful revolution, which is what I hope and pray for every day, or do we have our own government who's going to come after the people, and the people will have to defend themselves? That's why the Second Amendment is so critically important. And this is, again, what they will never teach in school. We're going to be taken over by our own government, which is supposed to be us in charge. We are the governed. We are the government. Question with boldness even the existence of a God. Because if there be one, he must approve of the homage of reason than that of blindfolded fear. Question with boldness the existence of a God. Because if there be one, he must more approve of the homage of reason than that of a blindfolded fear. Living in fear is not what we need to do. Nothing to fear but fear itself. We'll take a little bit more look here at Thomas Jefferson, then we'll go to one of the others. We'll go to Lincoln and see what some of Lincoln's. I want to make sure we get Washington and Lincoln in today, since this is truly what the day was about. And, you know, people don't think about the fact that Thomas Jefferson wrote that, even though I think people may know it, I don't know. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Rightful liberty is unobstructed action according to our will within limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others. I do not add within the limits of the law, because law is often but the tyrant's will and always so when it violates the rights of the individual. Let me read that again. That's actually pretty good too. Often the tyrant's will. Rightful liberty is the unobstructed action according to our will within limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others. I do not add within the limits of the law, because law is often the tyrant's will, and always so when it violates the rights of the individual. This again goes into what this government has become, a tyrannical government, taking away your rights. This is kind of interesting. I never really saw it as a Thomas Jefferson quote, but I have frequently talked about my own personal opinion that humans are the lowest life form on this planet, because they're the only ones that intentionally harm each other for self-serving benefits, for selfish reasons. And, I mean, people who backstab others on the job market or in corporate America to try to get a raise, take credit for other people's work, all these different things. the evilness of what people do to each other for selfish reasons. And it's pure evilness. It's really evil. So this is kind of interesting that Thomas Jefferson has this one here. Experience demands that man is the only animal which devours its own kind, for I can apply no milder term to the general prey of the rich on the poor. There can be no truer words. And, I mean, we all see this. You know, we have genuine people who don't do this, who find $5,000 and actually turn it in and these kind of things. But in the overall scheme of things, the corporations, the employees trying to climb up the corporate ladder routine, and this, just all the different things when people don't want to be held accountable for what they have done, or they want more benefit than what they do, take advantage, take credit for things they didn't do. Experience demands that man is the only animal which devours its own kind, for I can apply no milder term to the general prey of the rich on the poor. And that's true, the rich on the poor. Now, this is the part where kind of that gray area of capitalism versus communism. Communism definitely isn't the right thing. But this goes back to why we have to be a moral people. If we do not have some grounding, some core for morality, for core beliefs and principles, then this is what we become. Evilness. This is evil. And the sad part is, you can go to many large corporations and, you know, the corporation at the end of the year, the corporation could have made $1 billion over the year. However, they wanted to make $2 billion. So they're going to cut people and try to cut salaries and do these other things so that they can make $2 billion instead of taking care of the people down below, the people who made you the money to begin with, and sharing it to that degree. And I don't believe in communism, so it's not like I believe everybody should work and get the exact same thing out, you know, along the way. But I also don't believe in that kind of evilness to do that to another human being. And this is exactly what Jefferson's talking about. Experience demands that man is the only animal which devours its own kind, for I can apply no milder term to the general prey of the rich on the poor. So politicians do all the time. They go act like they care about the poor while they destroy them. Obamacare acts like it cares about the poor, but it's destroying them. It's destroying the middle class and the lower income people more than anyone else by cutting their jobs, cutting their hours. When you work in a fast food restaurant or the service industry, they can go out there and get five people to split the work up and give you 20 hours each and this kind of stuff versus going out there and having a couple of full-time people who would be earning the benefits. So they can do these kind of things. You know, Obamacare promoted that. To the point, especially when it comes to smaller businesses who truly don't have billions of dollars in profits, to go out there and do this, who can't make that happen. So then they penalize both. It's just ridiculous. I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson was definitely a deep thinker, very wise. And when people say, who are your favorite presidents and things, the founding fathers, Washington's definitely the number one. I can't find anyone I believe or would trust more. I believe was truly genuine in what he did. And then Jefferson is definitely one of the masterminds out there that understood. I like Adams, John Adams, too. But I keep going back to Washington and Jefferson more than any other. But like I said, we're going to make sure we spend some time on Lincoln tonight, too. Determined never to be idle, no person will have occasion to complain of the want of time who never loses any. It is wonderful how much may be done if we are always doing. And isn't that the truth today, too? Instead of people sitting around doing nothing, instead of people spending more time thinking of how they can leech off the system to do something productive. No reason. And then here's a nice one. I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past. Oh, here we go. Every government degenerates when trusted to the rulers of the people alone. The people themselves are its only safe depositories. And not the truth. Peace and friendship with all mankind is our wisest policy, and I wish we may be permitted to pursue it. See, this goes into the evilness of man wanting to destroy or devour the other for nothing but selfish reasons. Now, I mean, when you think of the Muslim Brotherhood who claim that Allah tells them they have to kill the Christians and the Jews, if you don't convert to Islam, you're going to die and you're going to rot in hell and all these other things, there's that mentality, and to defend ourselves against that, I think, is the right thing to do. It's not that we're trying to go out there and kill people. It's trying to defend ourselves. Peace and friendship with all mankind is our wisest policy, and that is what we should pursue. And Washington said the same thing in his own words, not the, you know, obviously not the exact same, but was much, very much a believer that we should be good neighbors to all. We should not interfere with what they are, what other countries do. We should take care of our own. What a concept. Can you imagine if Washington, D.C. actually cared about Americans? It seems like Washington, D.C. cares about everything but Americans. It's the biggest anti-American organization there is, Washington, D.C. And truly all public offices, as far as I'm concerned. Very few, whether it be your state or your federal government. They're out there trying to make their own money, get their own bennies, and they'll sell out every one of us for a dime. Okay, and here's another important one, and again, I think it's so relevant to the time we're facing today. Every citizen should be a soldier. This was the case with the Greeks and the Romans, and must be that every free state, every citizen should be a soldier. This was the case with the Greeks and the Romans, and must be that of every free state. If we're not the soldiers, we're not going to survive. We're going to be taken down. This is why the Second Amendment. Now, I always wondered where this came from, so I guess this actually came from Thomas Jefferson. When angry, count to 10 before you speak. If very angry, count to 100. I did not know that was his quote. Oh, words to live by, and we've been told this many a times, but Jefferson told us many years ago, never spend your money before you have earned it. What does that mean? No credit. Nothing gives one person so much advantage over another as to remain always cool and unruffled under all circumstances. That kind of goes to the notion, don't let them see you sweat. Okay, now here's something. And you kind of think about this in a relationship to Obamacare. The care of human life and happiness and not their destruction is the first and only object of good government. Now you think of how that relates to Obamacare. The care of human life and happiness and not their destruction is the first and only object of good government. But that doesn't mean that we're supposed to provide free health care for all the world, but we are to take care of each other, and local government should be doing it, not the federal. The local government, local charities, how we take care of each other. And taking care of human life is more to do with security, national security, but they don't care about the Americans. We wouldn't have all this immigration problem, illegal immigration. If they cared about taking care of the American people. So the Obamacare is just a farce when it comes to it, because they don't care about taking care, don't care about national security. It's okay if the enemy comes in and invades us and blows our heads off, but make sure you have birth control. Nutsiness when you think about it. This one is so, so true. I like doing this because I go through and, you know, I read a lot of quotes from different sources, but you go up to a different site, or, and right now I'm at Brainy Quotes in case anybody would want to go look at these. Brainy Quotes, they have a present section. But, you know, there's just so many of them out there. Whenever a man has cast a longing eye on offices, a rottenness begins in his conduct. That is so true. Whenever a man has cast a longing eye on offices, a rottenness begins in his conduct. And then, of course, I really like this one. I'm well familiar with this one, and I like it. One man with courage is a majority. And luckily, we've got a few individuals in Washington today who do have courage and do stand up, and we have to hope they keep standing up and that they don't get intimidated or bought off. Oh, yeah. Here's a, like I say, these things are just so true, and they're just, you see what's happening in our society today. You see what's happening in our country today. The Founding Fathers understood all this. It's just amazing how much they truly understood and how they really did try to protect us. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. So true. Dumbing down of America, Common Core education. Dumbing down of America, Common Core education. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. You can't be ignorant and free, people. And we'll do just a couple more here, and then we'll switch over to Lincoln. The man who reads nothing at all is better educated than the man who reads nothing but newspapers. And Jefferson, I've seen many quotes of his about the papers, and it's just so true. Somewhere in there he's got the joke about the only thing that's true in the papers are the advertisements, something to that effect. But it's so true. The man who reads nothing at all is better educated than the man who reads nothing but the newspapers. If God is just, I tremble for my country. If God is just, I tremble for my country. Okay, excuse me there. It is error alone which needs the support of government. Truth can stand by itself. Commerce with all nations, alliance with none, should be our motto. This goes back to our role in the world. Commerce with all nations, alliance with none, should be our motto. And fair trade means equal trade, not free trade for one side and the other. Commerce with all nations. There's nothing wrong with international trade and international arrangements that way. But there is something wrong when we're the only ones who get stuck paying anything and everybody else gets everything free. It should be equal fair trade. We export to you for this, you export to us for this. The tariffs are the same both directions. But nobody seems to be watching out for Americans again. This goes back to the fact that these people in office today, they never care about the Americans. The Americans are the last one on their mind. They're out there going after everybody else but us, supporting and giving money to everybody else but us, and destroying this country. None but an armed nation can dispense with a standing army. To keep ours armed and disciplined is therefore at all times important. We must always have security. Too bad we didn't have national security here on the homeland. Kind of like the borders, you know? Okay, the Republican is the only form of government which is not internally at open or secret wars with the rights of mankind. That's kind of interesting. The Republican is the only form of government which is not eternally at open or secret war with the rights of mankind. Well, let's see. This kind of sounds appropriate, too, and we'll make this the last one and then flip over to Lincoln. If the present Congress air too much talking, how can it be otherwise in a body to which the people send 150 lawyers whose trade it is to question everything, yield nothing, and talk by the hour? Oh, that is so true. Need to send that to a few attorneys, I know. If the present Congress air in too much talking, how could it be otherwise in a body to which the people send 150 lawyers whose trade it is to question everything, yield nothing, and talk by the hour? Oh, that is so true. Okay, let's go up here and go to Lincoln. We had some very, very wise founding fathers. Okay, here we are with Lincoln. And I'm sure we've all heard this one before, but go ahead and mention it because it's always appropriate. Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. And this one here, totally believe it. America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. That is so true, and that is so where we are today. America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. And we have said many, many times here on American Statesman, it's the enemy from within. Not Al-Qaeda that's going to destroy us. It's the enemy from within. And I say that while I talk about the Muslim Brotherhood and the invasion over the southern border. We wouldn't have the invasion if we didn't have the enemies from within who refused to secure the homeland. It's the enemies from within. And you know what? John McCain, I think of you as an enemy these days. Lindsey Graham, you're an enemy these days. You refuse to protect our homeland. Anybody who refuses to protect this homeland is truly the enemy. Enemy from within. Excuse me. And, of course, we've heard this one plenty of times. You can fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. And I think this is also very relevant to where we are today. You know, I go back and say, how stupid do they think we are? Dot, 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 dot. How stupid are we? And we're not stupid. In some cases, people can be ignorant because of what has happened to public education, what has happened through freedom of the press, misinformation. Just like Jefferson said, you're better off to read nothing than you'll be more educated by reading nothing than to read the newspapers. So it's not they can't fool us all the time. They fooled us the first time. The Tea Party was the beginning of a massive movement. And if you're a true Tea Partier, it has nothing to do with political parties. You know, the conservatives were part of the Republican Party, but the Republican Party has gone so far off the tracks that it ceases to be any kind of conservative constitutional party anymore. And so that's why it was or has been that so many Tea Partiers tend to be on that side. But the Tea Partiers are coming to the independent, no party affiliation, because they believe in the Constitution. They either go to the Conservative Party or the Constitutional Party or some other party and leaving the GOP because they're looking for some place that truly believes in the Constitution and the rights of people. So, again, you can fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. The American people are not being fooled anymore. GOP, do you get that? Which, of course, when talking the GOP and talking Lincoln, it's really important to remind people Lincoln was the first Republican. Okay. Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right. And that's also very interesting. And this is why if a free society, in order to have a free society, we must have a moral society. If we are not on God's side, then we're not on the right side. God is the creator, our creator. And if we do not respect that, we're not going to survive. If we are not going to believe in a higher being, believe in a greater good for what we are supposed to do to each other, we're not going to survive. Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right. And, oh, yeah. This one here we've heard many times, and it's so true today. And, I mean, just think of how many years ago these things were written and how true they are today. Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. And you see what happened when you gave the current White House dictator some power. He's abused that power to the nth degree, as far as those in the two houses of Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives, those in Tallahassee, Florida. You give them power, and they take advantage of it. They show what they truly are. And see, you gave power to Lincoln and to Washington, and they did the right thing. They did not abuse that power. We wouldn't be here today if they did. In the end, it's not the years in your life that count. It's the life in your years. True. Okay, and then this one here, also a good positive thought. Most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Okay. Let's see here. This one is kind of interesting. We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts. Not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution. You got to love that one, especially after the Supreme Court and Obamacare. Excuse me. We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts. Not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution. Does that sound like May 16th? And does that not sound like today? Okay, let's see. Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 hours sharpening the axe. So have the tools ready when you go to take the tree down. If you are prepared, you can take it down without so much trouble. But if you're not prepared, be a different story. All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Washington had some very nice words to say about his mother as well. And as I mentioned, we are reading Lincoln quotes from Abraham Lincoln, and this is on brainyquotes.com. Always bear in mind that your own resolution to succeed is more important than any other. See, that's what America used to be built on. It was the individual's resolution to succeed. If you didn't want to succeed and you were quite happy to sit there and sleep in the streets all night long and never build a house or do whatever, never buy a meal, never work for anything, then that was your choice. But it was your resolution. If success to you was just surviving day to day, getting a meal for the day, and going as you freely choose to go, well, then that's it. If your intention was to have a house, have a job, be able to go someplace, travel the world, whatever, then it's your own resolution to succeed in doing that that's more important than any other. Character is like a tree and reputation like a shadow. The shadow is what we think of it. The tree is the real thing. Interesting. Very philosophical thoughts in here. Okay. This country, with its institutions belonging to the people who inhabit it, whenever they shall grow weary of the existing government, they can exercise the constitutional rights of amending it or exercise the revolutionary rights to overthrow it. And isn't it interesting that they thought about these things back then? They thought, they understood the government would get out of control if the people didn't maintain their role in it. If you go out there and say, well, I elected so-and-so, that's all I was supposed to do. Hey, I voted. And of course, many people don't even do that. I voted. I've done my job. I'm not supposed to do anything else. No. You have always got to be leery of what these people are doing once you give them any kind of power. And once they started paying themselves, and I think it was Jefferson that made reference to once they start paying themselves, the country will fall. When they understand that they can give themselves pay raises and all these other things, that's when you're doomed. That's obviously not the exact way Jefferson said it, but that was the effect of it, or the gist of it. Let me read this one again, because this is where we are today. This country, with its institutions belonging to the people who inhabit it, we the people, whenever they shall grow weary of the existing government, they can exercise their constitutional right of amending it or exercise their revolutionary right to overthrow it. So what are we going to do? And right now we have both things going on, where there's those who say there's going to be some type of revolutionary war. We've got this march on D.C. coming up on May 16th, and then we've got those talking about a constitutional convention. This is where we're at today, and this is what Abraham Lincoln was thinking in his day. Labor is prior to and independent of capital. Capital is the only fruit of labor that could never have existed if labor had not first existed. Labor is the superior of capital and deserves much of the higher consideration. Interesting to think of, too, when you think about how much you get paid. Labor is prior to and independent of capital. Capital is the only fruit of labor. Capital is only the fruit of labor and could never have existed if labor had not first existed. Labor is superior of capital and deserves much the higher consideration. Oh, here we go. So true. And this is why we question all the time on this show, do we still have a constitution? Because it doesn't seem like it. Don't interfere with anything in the constitution. That must be maintained, for it's the only safeguard of our liberties. Our constitution has been trashed so much by both sides. It has nothing to do with what party you're in. I mean, again, Lincoln was a Republican and believed in the constitution, but today's GOP, Lincoln would never be associated with today's GOP. He never would. If it was anything like this, he would not have been part of it to begin with. There would have been none. No GOP if this is what it was going to be. Excuse me. The best thing about the future is that it comes one day at a time. I am not bound to win, but I am bound to be true. I am not bound to succeed, but I am bound to believe by the light that I have. I must stand with anybody that stands right and stand with him while he is right and part with him when he goes wrong. Which I think is interesting, too, when you think about friendship, loyalty. How long do you stand next to somebody? Maybe you agreed with them and you believe the same things and they did the right thing, and then all of a sudden they start to go a different way. Which I think happens to so many that go to Washington, D.C. They go to Washington, D.C. with a sincere, genuine wanting to do the right thing, but because of the establishment that is in Washington, because of the 95% who have been there before, who get reelected, and this other garbage that continues to go on, you're thrown into this mess. And how long does it take will you stand? Will that individual stand, whether it be a senator or a representative, stand with those who are doing wrong? Will you stand right, or will you eventually collapse and give in or cave in to the other side and do wrong, so-called in the guise of trying to do the right thing? Go with the flow. And see, I think this is what is, this is probably one to send to Rand Paul. I am not bound to win, but I am bound to be true. I am not bound to succeed, but I am bound to live by the light that I have. I must stand with anybody that stands right and stand with him while he is right and part with him when he goes wrong. Rand Paul seems to get confused there. He seems to think being part of the GOP establishment is what's going to make him succeed. At least that is what I get from what I see him playing. I mean, why else would he endorse McConnell? I mean, to say he endorsed McConnell because he asked him to? Well, wait a minute, I'm going to ask you to pile a dog poop. Are you going to eat it too, Rand Paul? I mean, come on. Stand with Rand when Rand's going to go stepping up because that's what someone told him to do? I mean, that was a sorry excuse, Mr. Paul. I don't think your dad would have said that. Government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. I am not destroying my enemies when I make friends of them. Excuse me, I said that wrong. Let me try that again. The dyslexia is getting in there. Am I not destroying my enemies when I make friends of them? Okay. Be sure to put your feet in the right place, then stand firm. Any people, anywhere, being inclined and having the power, have the right to rise up and shake off the existing government and form a new one that suits them better. This is a most valuable, a most sacred right, a right which we hope and believe is to liberate the world. And see, right now, we've actually got a risk of the fact that the brainwashing and the dumbing down of Americans that has confused what communism is versus what freedom is. And people won't fully understand communism until it's too late. They won't understand that they won't have the right to own a car. Agenda 21, sustainable development. Air conditioning is unsustainable. Of course, right now in the Northeast, I don't think anybody would care about that. But if you're down here in the South, which I am, I'm in Florida, I do want air conditioning. If I need it, maybe, hopefully I don't need it every day, but when I do need it, I want it. But air conditioning is not sustainable. But that's what communism, and that's where we're heading. Agenda 21 is communism. One world order, one world government. We're going to follow the dictates of the United Nations. That's where we're heading. And people have to understand that. It's the facts. Just go and look at the various treaties and things going on with the United Nations. See what those in public office are doing. If you haven't taken time to go look and see, if you can't disprove what I'm saying, then don't say it's a conspiracy. Don't say it's some kind of conspiracy, loony, whatever. Go out there and prove what I'm saying is wrong. You won't be able to. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Easy for me to say, right? I am a firm believer in the people. If given the truth, they can be depended upon to meet any national crisis. The great point is to bring them the real facts. And that's exactly, again, where we are today. We've got the tough love. This is the same meaning as tough love. We've got to seek the truth and face the truth, and then we can save our country. But the American people have to seek the truth because they're not going to tell you. The great point is to bring them the real facts. The media is not going to bring us the real facts. It's been corrupted too much. You'll get some facts there, but you got to double-check everything you see out there. Can't assume anything they're saying. You got to go out there and check it. And you've got to be willing to face it. Seek the truth, face the truth, and then we can save America. problem today is that the media doesn't want to tell us the truth. Okay, let's see here. Things may come to those who wait, but only the things left by those who hustled. This is true. Move it or lose it kind of thing. If you're going to sit there and wait, somebody else is going to take over. When I do good, I feel good. When I do bad, I feel bad. That's my religion. Pretty basic words to live by. Do good and you'll feel good. Do evil and you'll feel bad. No man is good enough to govern another man without the other's consent. You know that thing about consent of the governed? You cannot escape the responsibilities of tomorrow by evading it today. I think that's called procrastination. The things I want to know are in books. My best friend is the man who'll get me a book I ain't read. No man has a good enough memory to be a successful liar. Very true. You just, people who lie, then you try to keep straight the lies, you can't do it. I do the very best I know how, the very best I can, and I mean to keep on doing so until the end. I do the very best I know how, the very best I can, and I mean to keep on doing so until the end. This one's interesting, too, with what we have going on with Common Core. Something to think about, the classroom. The philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. That is exactly Common Core. The philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. A woman is the only thing I am afraid of that I know will not hurt me. Okay, let's see here. Sorry about that. I had a minor distraction. Okay, those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves. My dream is of a place and a time where America will once again be seen as the last best hope of Earth. Isn't that interesting that Abraham Lincoln was thinking that way back then? Because we many times today we say this is the last place, without the United States of America, this is the last hope for freedom. Excuse me. My great concern is not whether you have failed, but whether you are content with your failure. My great concern is not whether you have failed, but whether you are content with your failure. How many people are content with failure? Whatever you are, be a good one. Be the best you can be. Abraham Lincoln must have had a weird sense of humor on some of these. Okay, how many legs does a dog have if you call the tail a leg? 4. Calling a tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. Yep, I had a sense of humor back then too. If once you forfeit the confidence of your fellow citizens, you can never regain the respect and esteem. Do not worry when you are not recognized, but strive to be worthy of recognition. I am a slow walker, but I never walk back. The best way to destroy an enemy is to make him a friend, similar to the other one. It has been my experience that folks who have no vices have very few virtues. Okay. Common-looking people are the best in the world. That is the reason the Lord makes so many of them. The probability that we may fail in the struggle ought not to deter us from the support of a just cause we believe to be just. That's right. Don't let the fear of failure keep you from swinging the bat kind of thing. Okay, let's flip back over to Washington as we wrap up the show. Okay, let's see here. True friendship, this is Washington, George Washington. True friendship is a plant of slow growth and must undergo and withstand the shocks of adversity before it is entitled to the appellation. The Constitution is the guide which I will never abandon. George Washington. The Constitution is the guide which I will never abandon. And that kind of goes to the difference of the presidency and Obama. Obama has totally abandoned the Constitution. He's a dictator. When we think about what a president is versus what a dictator is, the president of the United States is required by the Constitution to execute the laws. The president does not create laws, does not make laws. But what we have today is a dictator. Excuse me. And I was actually going to get into this a little bit earlier. Then I started reading these quotes and kind of got off track. But we have to face the facts of what has happened in this country today. We have an individual who has assumed the role of a dictator. He isn't following the Constitution. He may be a constitutional scholar or professor or whatever. That doesn't matter to me. He doesn't follow the Constitution. And so we have to realize that. We've got to get back to the Constitution. But Obama's not the only one. Dictator Obama is not the only one who has rejected the Constitution. Excuse me again here. Sorry about that. I think I'm trying to get a cold or something. But anyway, we have to understand what a dictator is. The dictator is the one who makes his own laws and controls and does whatever he feels like doing. And Obama openly has gone out there and said, you know, I'm the president, I can do whatever I feel like. I'm gonna make new laws, I'm gonna change the laws, I'm gonna do whatever I want to. He can't even, you know, here Obamacare was his law and he can't even stick to that. He knows it's failing. So he's gonna go out there and change it instead of going to Congress. And I think, you know, it would be so interesting if before he would just write out his own laws, like a dictator does, if he would say, we've got some problems with Obamacare, so I'm going to ask the Congress to do this and this and this. And then he would shift the burden to those who are supposed to be the lawmakers to go out there and take action to fix the problem. But he doesn't even do that. He just says, nope, I'm in charge, I can make the laws. Immigration laws, I don't have to enforce the immigration laws. I don't think they're good, so I'm going to do what I feel like. Obamacare, you know, hey, it's not working right now. This part's not working, so go ahead and change it. Let's do this. IRS, yeah, it's okay. Go ahead and violate people's rights. Go ahead and harass those who are the opponents of my administration. That's okay. Go ahead and do that. And, you know, it's like, when and if we get somebody besides a Democrat in there, and they go and do these same things. This has set people, I don't think people truly appreciate what he has started here. Excuse me. We've seen overreach of other presidents, but this guy has assumed the role of a dictator. He's in charge. He makes the laws. He does what he feels like doing, gives amnesty when he feels like giving it. That is not the role of the commander-in-chief. But Obama doesn't appreciate or respect the Constitution. But then we have two houses of Congress that don't enforce it either. So you've got it on both sides. And do you truly think George Washington, President Washington, would be like this? President Washington could have been king, but he refused. He did not want to be king. He wanted the people to own the be the government. That's what he believed in. That's what he fought for. He did not want another King George. But he could have been. And that's the difference. Obama going, assuming the role of king slash dictator, and Washington refused it and rejected it. So when you want to think of the difference of what George Washington, President Washington, did versus President Obama, President Barack Hussein Obama, you've got a communist on one side, you've got a freedom fighter on the other. And guess which one's which? And nobody's going to convince me of anything else that this president isn't a communist, Muslim dictator who wants to destroy all the Christians, who wants to destroy this country. I mean, oh yeah, when he's running for office, he's all talking about his Christianity and this and that, until, and of course, that's why he went to a so-called Christian church that was condemning Americans. But now that he's in office, he, to being what he really is, which is a Muslim. And Muslims believe Christians should be dead. The Muslims hate America. I didn't find the information. I could have maybe looked a little bit closer on Jefferson to see what he was talking about. The Muslims told him that Allah told them they had to kill the Christians. And Americans are Christians, so the Americans have to die. They have to do it. That's what their doctrine says. That's what Allah says. The Christians either be converted to Islam or you're dead. Fortitude, be converted to Islam or you'll rot in hell. So he went and shot a bunch of Americans, Christians. This is where we're at with the presidency today. Okay, well, we're getting down to just the last few minutes. Let's see if I can find one more good quote here from President George Washington. Okay. Experience teaches us that it's much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have gotten possession. And I kind of think of this in terms of the presidency and these in public office. It'd be much easier to keep them out of office than it would be to try to get them out of there once they're in there. And this is especially true now. There's term limits for the presidency, but not when it comes to the Senate and the two houses of Congress, the House of Representatives and the Senate. Let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair. The rest is in the hands of God. Washington was a very, very religious person. Totally opposite of what I was taught in school. Possess firmness and virtue enough to maintain what I consider to be the most enviable of all titles, the character of an honest man. If we desire to avoid insult, we must be able to repel it. If we desire to secure peace, one of the most powerful instruments of our rising prosperity, it must be known that we are at all times ready for war. See, Washington wasn't against war for self-defense, but he didn't believe we should be going out there creating wars all around the world. And here we go. Observe good faith and justice towards all nations. Cultivate peace and harmony with all. Overgrown military establishments are under any form of government auspicious to liberty and are to be regarded as particularly hostile to Republican liberty. Let's see here. Let's go to The basis of our political system is the right of the people to make and to alter their constitutions, their constitutions of government. Let your heart feel for the afflictions and distress of everyone, and let your hand give in proportion to your purse. Give what you can afford to. Help what you can. By doing that, we can all take care of each other. When we assumed the soldier, we did not lay aside the citizen. Few men have the virtue to withstand the highest bidder. I think that's so true today, too. Few men have the virtue to withstand the highest bidder. Laws made by common sense must not be trampled on by individuals. Well, Washington, President Washington is definitely my favorite, and he truly was, I think, one of the wisest of all. Jefferson is, again, one of my favorites, too. Waited that good Christians will always be good citizens, and that where righteousness prevails among individuals, the nation will be great and happy. Thus, while just government protects all in their religious rights, true religion affords government its surest support. And on that note, thank you for listening. God bless America. Please be involved. Please take ownership. Please seek the truth, face the truth, and help take back America. Have a good night. Thank you, and have a good night.